I think most observers would tend to agree women have unique circumstances influencing their ability to achieve long, healthy, and financially secure lives. Well, welcome back to Clear Path, your roadmap for life. I'm your host, Al Waller, and joining me today are Catherine Collinson, founding CEO and president of nonprofit Transamerica Institute, as well as Mihaela Robles, public health expert. On this episode, we'll be delving into ways women can plan and become prepared for a secure financial future. Well, I'd like to thank you both for joining me here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Al.
Absolutely. So, Catherine, could you start us off by talking about financial security and describing the headwinds that women typically encounter?
Sure. Over the last half century, women have made tremendous progress by gaining higher levels of educational attainment and access to career opportunities, opportunities that my own grandmother's generation could only dream about. However, despite this progress, women continue to be at greater risk than men of not achieving long-term financial security. A major contributing factor is the persistency of the gender pay gap. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, in 2023, women full-time workers earned just 83.6 cents on the dollar compared with men. Simply put, with lower income, women have less funds available to save for the future.
Yeah, and I'll point out when, you know, you think about it, so many families with a single parent as head of the household, and that would typically be the woman, that does put them at a decided disadvantage. Now, what other factors impact women's financial security?
You just sort of briefly hinted at it, Al, and that is women are still more likely than men to take time out of the workforce for parenting and caregiving. And while this is an invaluable labor of love, it often comes without a paycheck. And these timeouts from the workforce translate to a loss of income and a loss of access to valuable employer-sponsored benefits. Moreover, especially if she's been out of the workforce for a while, when a woman decides to jump back in, it can be really hard to find a job at the same level of pay. So what happens is this: over time, there's a cumulative effect of the lower income and timeouts from the workforce, and it can dramatically affect one's long-term outcomes. In my team's most recent survey of workers, when we look at baby boomers, the generation nearing and entering retirement, women baby boomer workers have saved an estimated median in $98,000 in total household retirement accounts, compared with $275,000 reported by men.
Catherine, I'm letting those figures you just referenced sink in. I mean, that's, you know, what, a 3-to-1 differential, which is, you know, really significant.
It is indeed. And I'd also like to point out that statistically, women tend to live longer than men. So it means we need to prepare for even longer retirements. So it's no wonder that only 16% of women workers say they're very confident in their ability to fully retire with a comfortable lifestyle.
Man, I'll say, and you know, stating the obvious, this tells me some significant societal changes are, you know, really needed to bridge the gender pay gap. And to that point, I'd like to turn our discussion to ways women might actually be able to improve their situation.
And Al, I have some good news, and that is our survey revealed some financial action steps that are within reach for many, if not most, women. And Al, while these steps may sound like common sense, they're what I call uncommon sense, because not all women are engaging in them yet. And I also need to share a disclaimer: men could be doing a better job in these steps as well. But for right now, this podcast is focused on women. Here are the three steps that I'd like to share. The first is create a budget with financial goals. And if you're married or in a domestic partnership, become personally involved with your family's finances and investments. My second step or tip is factor employee benefit offerings when considering employment opportunities. They are part of your total compensation package. And then lastly, start saving for retirement as early as possible. It's never too soon or too late. but by starting early and saving consistently, even small amounts can add up over a decades-long working life. And if your employer offers a retirement plan, be sure to participate and take advantage of any matching contributions. And I want to leave you with one last insight, and that is, I firmly believe the key to achieving a secure retirement is having meaningful employment throughout one's working years, especially for women who are more likely to take time out of the workforce. It's really important to consider your options when you're thinking about a timeout for parenting or caregiving. And I'd like to suggest a win-win. And that is, consider dialing back to part-time work, which can bring in income, and it can make it much easier to jump back into full-time work later on when you're ready.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, when you think about it, since, you know, the COVID pandemic, you know, there have been, you know, some flexible working arrangements added, such as, you know, telecommuting and hybrid schedules, which, you know, provide even, you know, greater flexibility. Well, thanks, Catherine. These, I think, are some really important points. Now, what I'd like to do is steer our conversation over to Mihaela regarding health and its importance for women to secure their future. So with that said, Mihaela, I'm definitely interested in your perspectives regarding women's concerns as they age.
Yeah, our survey found that more than 4 in 10 women workers describe one of their greatest retirement fears to be declining health that requires long-term care. Although there are lots of different factors that can influence short and long-term health, women could be taking more preventative measures like eating healthy, exercising regularly, and seeking preventative care. Only 41% of women workers in our survey actually indicate that they are getting routine physicals and recommended health screenings on a consistent basis. And Al, while I realize that this podcast is focused on women, I also want to point out that this is a big opportunity for men too. Only 35% of male workers indicate that they are doing so. I also want to underscore that it's critically important to have health insurance, either through an employer, a spouse's employer, the marketplace, or Medicare. Preventative care is often fully covered by health insurance, so we should all be taking advantage.
Great point. And for our listeners who are interested in learning more about health insurance, I'd strongly encourage checking out our podcast episodes on that topic. And I'll also add here that, you know, as you've stated, you know, annual physicals are typically covered 100% with your insurance. So it's really in your best interest to meet with your healthcare provider, because really, when you think about it, what you don't know could hurt you. Now, in her previous observations, Catherine touched on caregiving, Mihaela. So could you walk us through how it can impact women's employment, health, and, well, their overall well-being?
Our survey found that almost 4 in 10 women workers are currently serving and or have served as a caregiver in the past for a relative or friend during their working careers. Among them, more than 8 in 10 made adjustments to their employment, ranging from things like missing days of work to quitting a job altogether. In some cultures, caregiving is an expectation that disproportionately falls on women. That's why it's really, really helpful when employers have policies such as flexible work arrangements, which can help caregiving employees manage work-life balance.
I agree. And I can, you know, actually point to some of my previous clients that took steps in that direction, realizing it's, you know, not just about being, you know, considered a benevolent employer, but it's a smart business practice as well. So I'm really encouraged and hopeful that more employers will accommodate caregivers in the future. Now, Mihaela, what about the health implications of caregiving?
While caregiving can be rewarding, Al, it's also taxing on emotional and physical health, according to the Office on Women's Health. Many women will end up neglecting their own health while caring for others, thereby experiencing stress and other health problems as a result.
Yeah, well, I can see how that could compound the problem. So then, how would you recommend women go about prioritizing and practicing self-care?
Well, self-care can look different for different women, but my recommendation, Al, is to start with the basics. Many women aren't yet engaging in activities like managing stress, getting enough rest, and seeking mental health support when needed. Al, I've already touched on the importance of routine physicals and health screenings, but I'm going to do it again because they're even more important for caregivers. They're vital for early detection and prevention of health problems down the road.
Oh, believe me, I'm familiar with the cautionary tales about caregivers, and that would include myself, you know, who, you know, at times neglect their own health care while caregiving. And, you know, that can come at a pretty steep price. So take it from someone who's been there. Mind the basics, you know, get plenty of rest, you know, watch your diet, and if necessary, seek mental health support. Now, Mihaela, what else should women be considering in this vein?
Al, many employers offer incentives for employees to stay healthy, for instance, through workplace wellness programs. Some even contribute to their employees' health savings accounts or HSAs. If your employer offers a workplace wellness program, be sure to check it out. And if you're interested in learning more about health savings accounts, check out our podcast episode on the topic.
Well, Catherine and Mihaela, got to say, this has been a really informative discussion, which I really hope our listeners have found helpful and will embrace and share with others. So as we wrap things up today, any final words of wisdom you'd like to impart, Catherine?
Absolutely. And that is, whether you're setting financial goals, negotiating for better pay, or contributing to a retirement account, small steps can make a big difference down the road. And if you're not sure where to start, learn about personal finance by picking up a book or even taking a class on the subject. And I also suggest consulting with your employer's retirement plan provider or consider working with a professional financial advisor if needed.
And I'd like to piggyback off of what Catherine said. It's never too late to start taking better care of your health. Get regular checkups, stay active, and find ways that align with your needs. Taking care of your health now will ensure a better quality of life in the future.
Amen to that. And I think you've touched all the bases. So again, many thanks to both of you for joining us today. And for our listeners who are interested in learning more about the survey report that we've referenced throughout the podcast, it's titled 24 Facts About Women's Retirement Outlook, and it can be found at transamericainstitute.org. Until our next episode, I'm Al Waller, encouraging you to stay safe, be well, as well as to take those necessary steps to secure your financial future. ClearPath, your roadmap for life, is brought to you by Transamerica Institute, a nonprofit private operating foundation dedicated to retirement security and the intersections of health and financial well-being. You can find our podcast on WYPR's website and mobile app, wherever you get your podcast, and at transamericainstitute.org/podcast. ClearPath, your roadmap for life, is produced by Transamerica Institute with assistance from WYPR. The information provided here is for educational purposes only and should not be construed as insurance, securities, ERISA, tax, investment, legal, medical, or financial advice or guidance.